just a disclaimer, I know we went out with the intentions that this was specifically going to be like cryptid based, but
Lizzie done broke the rules.
I did. But like the thing is, when I went looking at one specific cryptid, it linked to another cryptid and I was like, okay, let me have a look at this. But then when I looked at that cryptid, it just left, honestly opened up a whole fucking world. I was like, I need to delve into this like as in like properly, because it's honestly, like I was saying, like this doesn't center around one specific cryptid. Like it does feature one, don't get me wrong, but it's by no means the star of the show, right?
Okay.
Because the entire town in which this cryptid is a bench or like, you say like situated in, it's just fucking batshit crazy. Like, I mean, a clusterfuck of the supernatural, if you will. It's just mad. It's just mad. So Whitewater, yeah.
Where is this?
I'm going to tell you now. Whitewater, Wisconsin. Why?
Okay. Whew. Because my story is also based at a place where just a ton of fucking supernatural shit happens. So I was getting really concerned for a hot minute.
I would have shit myself.
We're good. No.
Okay,
mine's English. We're all right.
So Whitewater, Wisconsin, in my opinion, the in real life Halloween town. But it's more locally known as like the Second Salem.
Ooh.
Mm, very weird.
Never heard of this.
I know, it's weird. So when I looked at him, I was like, oh shit, like I need to like know more. I went kind of down the rabbit hole. But like, it's more on the supernatural side that then features a cryptid.
Okay.
So that's how I'm going to get away with, basically, in this episode. The town of Whitewater was apparently, and I'm going to say that in heavy quotations, subjected to the cruel and unjust witch trials in the early 1700s. But why I'm saying it's in like heavy quotations, because when I went digging, I could not find a single piece of evidence or source. Just like fucking weird Facebook links to tour tickets from locals where like you'd be given like the full scoop. I'm like,
I want to do that, guys. I want to do that with us. Like, I'm sorry, this is back to me, but on that fucking podcast, there was a guy and he was like, if you want to come out to my ranch and I come look and find fucking Bigfoot.
Man, I would love to check.
Let's go,
honestly.
Please. I swear to God.
Get me there.
Can we please go to fucking Whitewater, Wisconsin and go on a ghost tour and like, actually, it's going to be shit.
I want to. I'm going to link the video to the links because they only have like 38 views and shit like that. Obviously not to be decent, but like, honestly, mad. Now, obviously, I had neither the time nor the money, and if we're actually being entirely honest, or the want to go to Wisconsin to find out if all this shit was true and to hear the full goss, I couldn't care less. So basically, to get the full goss, I don't really care. So we're going to fast forward a scooch to when people were going mad, mixing cocaine and ground up Egyptians when it was all the rage. So basically the 1800s, right? We're going to just go into that lovely
the good times.
The good times. So the good times were like spiritualism was the new it girl, okay? So like everybody looked up to her, everybody wanted to be her, and Maurice Pratt was no exception. So he basically wanted to create like a mecca for modern spiritualism. Like man was a fucking mental case anyway, and he'd been turned away from so many churches because like basically spiritualism is the belief in God, but they don't renounce spirits, where if you have like a Catholic or a Christian belief, you renounce spirits. So like you don't believe that you can talk to the dead and all like that kind of shit, where spiritualists believe that like you can use like a Ouija board and shit to contact them. But you very much believe that there's a heaven, there's a hell, all that kind of crack. Morris was a businessman from New York, and at this point specifically in New York, like spiritualism was all the rage. Same with like, you'd have mediums coming around to your house after a fucking Sunday dinner to have like a seance and all that kind of crap. Like it was very, very popular, but in the middle of America, it wasn't so much so. And he helped like kind of bring it there. But our man Morris anyway swore that like once he made a bit of money from his business, because he was very much into like the iron and like coal mines, that he would devote it to spiritualism and the psychic agenda. Like, honestly, honest, but anyway.
This is sounding an awful lot like Scientology vibes. Like, your guy's name is Morris. Sounds like Ron to me.
So, like, as in ghosts, but not aliens. So, I can see the cross connection. I can see the cross connect. Right, so he said that he would fully devote himself to creating an institute to learn philosophy and the spiritualism and psychic culture. Right? All in mad heavy quotations, but anyway. So, Morris ended up teaming up with this one called Mary Hayes Chowith, I think. it looks Welsh, so that's the way I'm going to pronounce it, but anyway, not my business. So she was like this really popular psychic medium at the time that people would go to for like family readings, like that. If like a family member like died, you'd go to Mary and she'd get you in contact.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because Mary would often take fits and she would be like controlled then by a spirit that would, like the spirit would do the talking and not Mary. But this spirit was also an old German like professor specifically. Anyway, actually, none of my business. Anyway, and
so yeah, when, what, she just takes a fit and then all of a sudden she's like, yeah, schönen guten Tag, wie geht's dir, Stoy?
Exactly, Savannah, you've honestly took the words right out of my mouth, but anyway. I was going to say that verbatim. Anyway, so, and it was apparently this spirit that had led her to select the town of Whitewater for their new institute. So they would hold many seances on the spot where the school was going to be built. So like that hadn't been fully completed yet, but like they had people traveling from all over fucking America to come and make contact with dead relatives with the help of both Mary and Morris, because apparently these team were like, we're fucking Batman and Robin.
Right? Mary and Mom and Morris, like, sorry.
Fucking Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy, is it?
But before Spook Hogwarts could be built, Morris's health began to like kind of quickly give out. Like, this was out of nowhere. It's like, why is he going downhill? Like, he wasn't sick.
Arsenic.
Why is he kind of going downhill, right? So he reportedly gave the deed to the estate to 7 unknown spiritualists, a sort of like board of trustees or whatever the fuck, what you will, whose names have never been accounted for or like in any written document to this day, right? And Morris died a few months after, so could say that that's a bit suspicious.
Sus.
A bit suspicious, a bit weird. And the locals in the area like refer to this school as Spook Temple because they were like, nah man, like some sus shit is probably going down there. So like they just still were clear of it because they were afraid that all of these seances were aggravating what was already lurking in Whitewater.
I mean, like that's a fair fear to have.
That's a fear because like they genuinely believed that there was something already in the town in the first place. So they were terrified when all these spiritualists came in. They were like, will you please leave us alone? And they were like, no, we can't. A spirit has like directed us to here, so this is where we're going to stay. So like the locals wouldn't like really fuck with them as much. So the thing with Whitewater is that, right, it has 3 cemeteries. But which if you draw a line from one to the other, like honestly, it forms a perfect isosceles triangle, like to the degree.
Illuminati. It's the perfect. Illuminati. They've been behind it this whole time.
Located between these cemeteries became known as the Witch's Triangle.
Nice.
But to make it like just like a scooch worse, if you take into account the Native American burial ground that was right on the outskirts and link that up, it forms a pyramid, which is also like a really important shape in both spiritualism and the occult. So basically anything that happened within this pyramid or this triangle was all Bill sketchy Slifer. Shit. Anything on like the outskirts, totally fine. But everything inside was weird, like unexplainable. Like just shit just kept on happening. To the thing that they, like, the, yeah, exactly. Like the Bermuda, but like on land. But to the point that the locals said, like once you went into the triangle, that the air itself almost felt different. Like, heavy.
Okay. I would never go there.
Never. Yeah. Why would
like,
you?
Problem really genuinely solved. How about that?
Like, I'm saying, that feels different. I'm just not going to go. How about
like,
that?
Like, you should have been warned off, like, 6 curses ago. Like,
there's a reason why everybody in your bloodline dies after 40. Do you know what I'm saying? Just leave it alone.
How many firstborn sons have survived past the age of 1?
How many wives have you lost to childbirth before you get the message?
It's like, just like, move. Honestly, really, truly, just move. But at the centre of this triangle was no less fucking Spook Temple. So if the land was bad, obviously, I really believe the seances definitely were not helping.
No, why would they?
Why would they only aggravate it?
Honest to God. But like, so, me busting out a Ouija board in this house, it's just not a good fucking idea.
Exactly, because we know that there's shit there already, so you don't need to prove it any more than it's already been proven.
They're minding their business most of the time and I'm minding mine. It's fine.
They're keeping to themselves.
Leave me.
They're keeping to themselves. So people started to believe that the negative energy within this triangle like started to have an effect on people's behaviour. So the town saw more than its fair share of murder, we'll say. So our little fucking Nelly Horan, God bless, was suspected of murder.
Not Nelly Horan.
No, not
the... pure Irish.
I was about to say the female
the most
line,
Irish cunt in America in this point.
Like... Honestly, really, she came on the famine ships. Really. So, Nelly was suspected of murdering her parents and siblings with strychnine poisoning between 1882 and 1884. So, authorities initially believed that someone outside of the family was out to get them. Like, they didn't suspect that the call was coming from within the house.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, that quickly changed after the death of Nellie's older sister Anna, which she passed away in 1884. So a witness apparently came forward and was like, "Nah, I saw Nellie purchase fucking rat poison a few days ago." And the chemist,
snitch.
You need to like investigate this bitch, snitch. But they were also true because after like the funeral preparations were like, you know, put to a halt. An autopsy revealed that strychnine was also present in Anna's stomach. So they're like, "Well, how the sweet mother of fuck got there?" So when Nelly went to trial in February 1885, she basically said that, yeah, like, I did buy rat poison, but that was basically to kill off all the fucking rats that were rampant in the office that I was working in. But there was, like, nothing that could correlate Anna being in the office, but then also why would she kill her sister? Even though she definitely killed her sister because she was a fucking lulu-lally. Like, she was gone.
Lulu-lally.
Gone, right? This woman was... But she basically got acquitted due to insufficient of evidence and lived like well into her 70s. So like woman lived a fucking handy dandy life. But there was also this mental cow called Myrtle Shoud. So Myrtle had a whole family. And she ended up falling in love with this young lad. And by young lad, I mean young lad. His name was Ernst Kufel, right? A young student stayed.
Who brought the German in?
Oh yeah. Mad. There was a lot of Germans in Wisconsin at the time, weirdly. Very bizarre. A young student, so he, yeah, was like staying at their student boarding house at the time, so it's given kind of predator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it now.
Myrtle, at the very least, panty sniffer.
Yeah, she was on a bit of a wronging, right? So a few months later, Myrtle's husband, Edward, just died out of the blue. 40 years old, would have no reason to have passed at this time. And the doctors were just like, oh, it's flu season. He's after catching a bad flu. And nothing was questioned, like, ah, sense. 2 and 2 is 4. We get this, right? But obviously, like, obviously
not the
like,
times tables.
There was no flu at all. Obviously there was no flu at all, right? And Myrtle then attempted to kill her children with strychnine. So basically what had happened was,
wait, question.
Yeah,
attempted.
Where's your drink?
I have stopped drinking because I'm on 5 now and the last 3 of those have been doubled. So like I need to relax the caps, like
I can't wait for my story. I'm practically cross-eyed here.
Small bit. That's why I asked, like, go in the middle because I was like, oh, I'm already half fucked. But anyway. And so Myrtle had, like, I didn't write this down. I literally have in brackets, and I fucking hate myself for this. Myrtle and her kids explain in brackets. Why did I do that? Why did I do that?
What faith did you have in yourself?
Oh my god,
moment?
I don't know. Anyway, and so basically, I think she had about, we're going to say under 5, so maybe 4 kids. And the eldest was like 16 at the time. And she was like, right, okay, we're going to practice your driving. You can bring us all out in the car as a family trip. Not that it could fucking kill the whole family because he was an experienced driver. Anyway, she only would have loved that. Anyway, not the point. And she had basically given them all like a lovely little dose of strychnine. She was hoping that when the eldest was driving, the strychnine would kick in and he would crash the car.
Logic, obviously.
Yeah, the car wreck then would explain the death.
And he's mangled and they wouldn't bother to go and check in because he's mm-hmm. been mangled.
Exactly.
Obvious. Good,
so
actually.
Exactly.
Ingenious.
She had a plan. But the thing was, she didn't dose them enough. So, like, while the strychnine had worked where it made them ill and the eldest child did indeed crash the car, none of them had died. But I think it's within this where she was like, the kids were starting to go a bit sideways. She had started to confess that, like, she was the one behind this because basically she was conversing with fucking Ernest, whatever the fuck his name is, all this time. And he had alluded to the fact that she could come live with him outside the student accommodation because he's a fucking child, but anyway, and that her kids wouldn't be welcome because, like, her eldest was 16, I think man was like freshly 18, 19. He couldn't be have a fucking stepchild that's like 3 years younger than him, you know what I'm saying? So her logical reasoning and explanation then was to, like, kill her whole entire family.
Just get them out of the way.
Yeah, just get them gone. So obviously they had lived, and then they had relayed to the police that, or their mom had like confessed that just before the crash, because she assumed that they were all going to die, that she had poisoned them, all that kind of lark. So she was found guilty and sentenced to prison. But she only spent a few years there because she charmed her way out of prison and was able to go start an entire new family over in Illinois.
What the fuck? Like,
how?
With the fella who released her or what?
No. Some other fella. But it's like, how do you much or have that much about you that you're able to like charm your way out of prison? And it's not like
what year was this again?
Where he went and pushed someone over. Mary was more in like the 20th century, so like 19 something in and about.
So not that long ago, like.
No.
Yeah.
Like early 19th century, like?
She was able to finesse herself out of prison, like.
18th century, you said?
No, so it'd be 20th century, so 1900s. So like
19th. Okay, yeah, yeah, I always get the mix up. But did you, like, is it early?
Yeah, like early on is in like, I'd say before, like pre-war. Second war, so like
still,
like,
that's even a lot of fellas like to that. Have back then.
Yeah.
I feel like men were easy to come by back then.
Definitely, but because it was after the Great War, but like pre Second World War.
Okay.
In around then. But match it. But anyway, next on our spooky tour is the Witch's Tower. So basically, this was an old water tower that back in the day when they feel like all those girls are put on the witch trials, that they would go. Because it was made out of limestone, and apparently limestone is like a conduit, or it can summon like, I don't know, it can harness spirits better. Somebody.
Of course it can.
All this kind of shit. Anyway, that they'd be going frolicking around this fucking tower, where they'd be like summoning something as if like they were calling out to something, right?
I just need an ADHD tangent for a second, but can we agree that frolicking should like... What's the thing when it sounds like what it is? Is that's not onomatopoeia? Onomatopoeia? Yeah. Can we agree that frolicking should be one?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because it sounds like what it is.
Yeah, I agree.
I fully agree. I agree. Cesspool
fact. I adore that word.
Fact.
Yeah, cesspool fact. I also think fresh is the same fucking thing.
We're going to lock it in.
Fresh fact.
Yeah. Right? Fresh sounds fresh. Like, it sounds like what it is.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Anyways.
After a while, they built a fence around this tower because people kept on reporting people doing like rituals around this tower. And the police were like, okay, we're having enough of this. But they built a fence in where, as in like the spikes turn inward, as in to keep something in rather than out. Like, do you know when you go to the zoo and like cheetahs are in an enclosure, but it's open air, but the spikes are pointing in. So obviously cheetahs can jump and run mad fast.
Yeah. They'd get stuck if they tried to jump. Like, they're not idiots to try and jump over.
Exactly. So it's like, what were they trying to like keep in? And there was reports at the time that it was like possible clan meetings because like a grand wizard of the clan had like passed away in Whitewater, like he had died like on the spot after one of the rituals that they were doing, all this kind of mad shit. But
was not expecting a clan fucking appearance, honestly, in this story.
Wild, right? But like a couple of yards up from where this tower is, there's student accommodation out for the college in Whitewater. And one night a bunch of like sorority girls had heard like a lot of rumbling and crashing coming from their basement, and they were like, what the fuck is this? Because like it sounded like somebody had bulldozed through the house.
Yeah.
And when they went down into the basement, that they had seen that it had like the floor had completely collapsed, and there was basically an underground tunnel system that connected the three graveyards, the tower and everything. So all these spooky spots. So they were like, okay, these are going to be like the witches' tunnels. This is clearly what the witches had used to like go from one place to the other, so that they wouldn't have to be seen at the dead of night or whenever they were doing the ritual, so then that they wouldn't be put on trial. Do you know that all kind of, do you know what I'm saying?
Chemical circle.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I feel like genuinely the people of Whitewater were kind of on a wrongin altogether, because there was also this other one called, I didn't write down her last name. Oh my, was it Mary Broth or some shit like that? But basically
Mary Soup.
She was
excuse
meant to
excuse me,
this.
Savannah. She said broth.
Don't confuse that with a soup, love. As I was talking about Spooky Mary, so basically she was this murderess, right? But apparently she had murdered a bunch of people with an axe. And so when I went looking up Spooky Bitch Fucking Mary, I couldn't find a thing. The only thing I could find was a woman by the name of Mary, same name at same time era, but in Chicago, so nowhere near Wisconsin, where she had like an, remember before, Roy did that Underground Railroad situation, but it was like the opposite effect, where she was actually taking like,
yes, that's
yeah,
it,
and murdering yeah. them. And this was basically,
she
like
was a horrible
type.
Cunt. Great
she
idea, though.
She was a waffle cunt.
Great idea. I'm sorry. If I was a killer...
Well, she wasn't a killer necessarily. I mean, she was just massively racist. But like...
But what, regardless, like, she was like, this is like...
Liam.
I mean...
She's a killer regardless of her motivation, whether it's racial or sexual. It's killer anyway, killer.
So like, I do... But like, the thing is, they're obviously, what, like, miles apart. So the woman by this name is related to crimes in Chicago, but I couldn't find anybody by this name that had crimes in Wisconsin. So like, I don't know if they're connected or if this woman served time or like did her crimes in Chicago, but like her grave is still in Whitewater, Wisconsin. So it's very, very murky altogether. But apparently as well, this woman like was a self-proclaimed witch, and she had like cursed some fellow that was over Wisconsin house or Winchester house. Sorry, I'll just kind of crack, but there was no other information apart from that she had apparently done all of these awful things, but like couldn't find a picture of her. Only pictures, if you looked up her name, Elizabeth fucking Bathory was, or not Elizabeth Bathory, fucking Lizzie Borden was coming up. This one
because
Wisconsin.
No, but like genuinely, do you know why you said Elizabeth Bathory? Because I was thinking that.
Oh my yeah. god, stop.
Because I was thinking about how there's like fuck all proof that she ever made any fucking criminal activity at all, and there's like only portraits of her. There's no pictures, obviously, because of the time period. But like,
not shit. But yeah, like none of it actually makes sense. But like that, people have this whole superstition with her that like if you go to her grave, she'll appear to you. All this kind of crack, and that she haunts the fucking cemetery that she's buried in. All that kind of shit, right?
I hope I leave a legacy of haunting behind me.
Oh, we could only hope. But then there, like, people would also do rituals in the town where, like, coffins, like, so if somebody died, the coffin would be buried vertically as opposed to 6 feet under horizontally.
Sorry.
So.
Sorry.
Weird.
No, let me pause here for a genuine second.
Yeah. Yeah, no, take a step.
What
yeah.
the fuck do you mean? You're telling me that you're putting a dead person mm-hmm. into a coffin, having them laid out lovely and nice, and then. Sure, you're going to sink into the bottom of the fucking coffin.
They're never going mind that. You're baiting your forehead off of the fucking door.
No, I'm dead, right? I'm lying down. The soon as I'm stood up.
Dunk.
Dunk. The legs going under you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And sure, you're at fucking... And then you're just smashed.
And then you're just melting in a pool of yourself.
She then just,
like,
in that case,
sick.
Put me into a fucking suitcase.
Yeah.
And that case, you're wasted about
cases back in the
1800s. Right, put me into a fucking put me into a casket that is 4 feet by 2.
Wait.
Wouldn't
wait,
I fit in lovely in a fetal though? Position?
Is it because people were dying so frequently that like they needed more space, so they had to bury them?
No, it was just some weird thing that people started doing. So it was like, okay, well, this is clearly a fucking ritual.
Well, I mean, if there was supports under their armpits or something, then I can get behind it.
I don't think there was. You know, they weren't tiny timing it with the crutches.
My issue is like, okay, the head's going to be flopping, but at least you're up. You know what I mean?
That's why you think they're going to be there and fucking like.
But
like
then you have
to dig
at that
they were giving angles.
But then at that case, you have to dig a hole that's like 7 feet deep because you get men that are 6'1" more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the hole has to be probably, instead of it being 6 foot deep, it has to be seven or eight feet.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
And awkwardly dug as well because it's thinner. Honestly, this is so like, beyond purpose. Like,
oh, I'm not here
honestly,
for it.
Honestly, it's wild shit. Wild shit. Because that's the thing. Like I said, people were on a wronging here. So, like, I don't know what the fuck were they were doing. There was no rhyme or reason. Because also, somebody dug up the grave of, like, a small child. Like, a small girl. As in, like, she was aged between, like, 1 and 10.
Oh, no. Was it a pedophile? So,
like, but basically, they dug up her coffin and left at the steps of the college. But this was in, like, the 60s. So, people were like, was it, like, an anti-war thing? But then that also,
how?
Bit, like, it doesn't make sense to be considered, like, because
I love Savannah's ad libs.
This would have been in the time of the Vietnam War, where obviously there was heavily pro. Oh my god, I'm wriggling to keep us. Where there was heavily protests with, like, the choose love, not war shit, because, like, we have no business being in Vietnam. Why the fuck are we there? There was obviously mass protests going around the United States at the time. So someone's like, did they dig up a child to be like, but people were like, nah, like, it makes sense, but it also doesn't. Like, given how heavily the town was, like, involved in, like, the occult and spiritualism, like, did it have, like, a different meaning? And was, like, the raising of this grave used to, like, in some fucking sort of spiritual aspect, right?
Because it looks cooler when you necromance it out of the ground.
Exactly. Exactly. But
for the flair.
Within this triangle, right, a book was found. So on this book, there was no author, no title, no nothing. But inside were, like, scriptures that basically were, like, for, like, summoning things and conjuring things. Basically, like, it made, like, three people kill themselves. Well, after they read it, we won't get into that. It was the whole thing.
No, I need to get into that a little bit. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, so basically.
It was just such serious bad vibes. People were like, ugh.
Yeah, it was like a series of unfortunate events. So, like, this book was found, suspected to be around the era of the witch trials, and was put into the library of the university. And three students at the time had checked this book out. And after each student had checked this book out, they've all coincidentally killed themselves. So they've hung themselves in the cemetery. Like, I think each one have hung themselves in, like, each cemetery. So, like, a person for each cemetery that was in this place. And, like, paranormal investigators.
So they're the blood sacrifice. I'm sorry, this is getting more and more Full Metal Alchemist. How did we have Attack on Titan? Now we're on Full Metal.
Honestly, Mark, honestly. We went from fucking Beast Titan to fucking Full Metal. But
I've got a demon slayer on the way. Like, you'll understand once we get there.
Fucking Tanjiro. But so in this library, there's, like, the librarian that works there, like, some people have gone to do, like, paranormal investigations, and they've asked to look at the book, and she's like, yeah, like, no problem. They've, like, will we kill ourselves after looking? She goes, like, no, hon, probably not.
No, because the blood sacrifice has already been fucking completed. It, come on, already keep given up.
For the 3 points, like, a mock of the Holy Trinity. Do you know what I'm saying?
Amateurs.
So, like, it just looks like an ordinary, plain, like, old book. Like, you can tell it's old, it's weathered and all that kind of shit, but she's like, nah, like, there's nothing, like, sus about this. But it's still kept under lock and key in the university or the college library. So it's like, if it was fine, why would it be kept under lock and key when they have books from the same era where students can happily check out?
I want to go play with the book.
You know what I mean?
I want to see. My toxic trait is going, I'm stronger than that book.
Let's fuck about and find out.
It's gonna be
amazing. Really.
And even if I'm not, what's really the worst that can happen? Oh, I get fucking possessed and kill myself. Okay, wow. I've done myself a favour.
Tragedy.
What about it?
Sounds good.
10 out of 10 sensation. Anyway, speaking of sensational, we're going to finally move on to the fucking cryptid that eventually makes an appearance in this bastard fucking episode.
You haven't even said it. I thought this was all part of it.
It is, man. But like I said, the cryptid is a feature. It's not the main fucking
the foreplay.
Okay.
Basically. Anyway. So a fisherman. In 1924.
No, lads, wait. A fisherman.
What's fucking Flint Lockwood's dad's name?
Oh, Borg.
Flint Lockwood.
Borg. What? His name is hardly Borg.
No, when you hear Flint Lockwood or Lockwood's name, do you automatically hear the little
wait, kid? Who was Flint Lockwood? Oh, no, I was wrong. I was thinking of pickup from Imagine Dragons. No, not.
Oh, you silly bitch.
His name is Stoic.
Well, the same person, different one.
His dad's name is Stoic, not Borg.
I said Hiccup from Imagine Dragons. Cloudy with a chance. His dad's name is definitely fucking Bob or something.
Oh, anyway, cursed. Bob or not, a fisherman, 1923. Bob's fish and chips. Anyway, claimed that a large creature with tentacles.
Tim!
Overturned. And Tim or not, we listen, you pack of hooers. this big fucking tentacle-like creature basically overturned their boat / raft.
Ew.
So this hooer in said boat got overturned, right? And he was like, fuck me, I need to get out of this bitch. And he was dragged underneath, right?
He got dragged underneath.
So he got dragged underneath, but God bless him, sure didn't he fight all against it? And eventually, when he broke free, said the gospel, didn't he find himself covered in small, unusual bite marks? So he's like,
Skeetos.
Nothing that was common to the lake. But also, according to residents of Whitewater Lake, strange events started happening, like, over the summer of 1944. It doesn't specify what strange events were happening, only the shit was going down and the locals were like, bit the fucking God, I'm not dealing with this shit. Let's make it stop. Okay. So to make it stop, the men from the area gathered in the local cemetery where said vertical fucking coffins were buried once upon a time.
I still have serious issue with that. But anyways, keep going.
Honestly, it really upsets me. So they dug up those coffins and they fucking hauled them basically to the lake, weighed them down extra with stones. So like the big bad wolf and the huntsman vibe, and then fucked them into the lake. And they did this as like an offering to whatever was in the lake. And supposedly this put an end to all the wild shit that was going on. But then in 1992, three Whitewater students who were renting a house on the lake stumbled upon a late night ritual being performed on the beach by four men that were dressed in like strange black clothes.
Could you imagine us? Appeared
at the time. Oh man, we'd be like, what the fuck is that? Let's go see, will we?
Lads, what are you doing? Can we join in?
I'd be like, lads, add to fucking stay.
I'd be like, lads, you need to add more flair. Like, come on, bit of dancing, bit of this drums. Come on.
Your cape. You know what I mean? Let us see what it's really like. Do you know what I'm saying? But because these lads were like swaying back and forward and chanting, these students first thought that they had like, you know, too much drink. Like they had a few too many scoops. Were like, nah, they're just pissheads. But that was until, and in heavy quotations, a thick fog rolled from the lake and a green light glowed throughout it.
This is giving Ian is biting.
What's that film?
Ian is biting.
No, what's it that is. Film where fucking, what's that film? No, The Great Gatsby. Do you remember you see the fucking green light or green light on the lake?
The green light at the end of the fucking dock. Yeah.
That's what this is giving.
That's how anyway. I knew that what's her tits was there. Daisy?
Yeah, fucking our girl Daisy.
She had some fucking opium name, I can't remember.
Some shit. But anyway, so one of the students said, we heard water starting to splash and then this deep gurgling noise. And all of these students, apparently, that had reported this to the police were too scared and wished to remain unidentified for their safety. As in, you mean that you're a bunch of blind fucking lunatics and you don't want people making absolute fucking hands?
Sorry, yeah, you want to remain unidentified for the fucking supernatural?
Just wait, as if they're reading the local paper. What are you talking about, you absolute fucking...
Break it into the fucking shite. Federal database to find your address, is it?
Like what? Off it. Absolute what are your fucking... Honestly, bunch of sacks. But anyway, one of them said that we were all just looked at each other and we heard a slurping... I don't know what slurping noises anyway. We're coming out of fucking, like coming out of a fucking lake anyway. And that they saw something coming out of the water as in like a huge humanoid mass.
Oh my God, Scooby-Doo!
Mass though.
And that they ran like hell. Right, is it according to them?
No, so Scooby-Doo. That's disgusting. If I ever in my life saw a Scooby-Doo swamp monster coming out of the fucking lake, I would kill myself on the spot. That, I don't want to exist in a world where that shit exists. I'm so sorry. I already came to terms with the fact that quicksand exists. And then I accepted the fact that it's not as big of a deal as I thought it was going to be. And then you're going to turn around and go, by the way, actually, haha, FYI, Scooby-Doo Swamp Monsters exist and are real and they're coming for you.
Exactly.
They're going to get your kids.
Try to snap your people
get
up.
Get your wife. Get your husband.
Because everybody trying to rape them out here. Anyway.
And you can run and tail there. Run and tail
everyone
there.
Everyone made that a joke, but when you actually think about it, it's actually scary as shit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. So, another resident witnessed this incident at the time, and he had called the police. But by the time that the police had responded, whatever the fuck was going on in the area, like whoever was there doing these rituals or whatever, had disappeared, and there was obviously nothing in the lake. When the police inspected the beach, they found remains of a ritual. So like small bones and rocks arranged in like a strange pattern on the sand and like symbols carved into the sand, all this wild shit. So obviously like cult activity was expected, which had also been prevalent in the area just a few miles away, where the Beast of Bray Road, which is the initial cryptid that I was looking at that led me to this clusterfuck in the first place, was wreaking havoc. So the Beast of Bray Road was like this 7-foot werewolf type creature that was terrorizing residents of Elkhorn community. And so basically the question is, were there just a bunch of delulus that had tried or were successful in raising or summoning some cryptid or some spirit type shit that is now just roaming free and wreaking havoc in the woods in Wisconsin? Because if you look up Wisconsin in general, it's one of the most, like, active based things supernatural wise in America. Like a lot of shit happens in Wisconsin because like it's very like densely populated as well, where there's like a lot of shit that happens in the woods, but like a lot of cryptids you will find make an appearance in Wisconsin. Anyway, that's it. So we don't know.
I don't know how I feel about the cryptid being just like flesh form.
I don't like that at all.
It's just a lump of something. Matter.
Yeah. Like, that takes the shape of a human.
Bit upsetting. Like scooch.
A scooch. The silence is deafening right now. I'm just going to say it.
I don't know how I feel about any of that. Like that was a fucking journey.
What the fuck? None of it made sense. But also it made so much sense. And now I believe in swamp monsters. Okay? I don't know what the fuck you want me to say. Now I'm scared. Because now I'm like, what? I was terrified of quicksand. Terrified. I was like, why is nobody talking about the issue that we're facing in regards to quicksand? Nobody was talking about it. And then I was
what
like,
has that got to do with all the rage?
Because we're, it's because of Scooby-Doo, Savannah. Read a book sometime. And then,
read a fucking Scooby-Doo and then book. What?
Have you ever in your life watched Scooby-Doo, the original?
Oh, absolutely. 10 out of 10.
Of course I have.
Okay, exactly. They also used to get involved in Scooby-Doo. That's how they caught a couple of the monsters. Oh, really? Was because they got caught in Scooby-Doo and then they saved them. And then they were like, yeah. Whip the mask off.
Do you mean quicksand?
The whole point is back in the day, quicksand they got and top monsters used to be a big deal. And also the, I nearly said the Pyramids of Giza. That's not what I meant to say. The triangle.
The Witch's Triangle.
The Illuminati Triangle.
No. The yoke about broad and the
Bermuda.
Sea. Yeah, the Bermuda Triangle. They were big deals. Anya's thing was the Bermuda. Mine was quicksand. I dealt with the fact that swamp monsters weren't real. And now Lizzie has brought it up for me. And I'm upset about
it. Maybe she'd just be lurking in lakes and shit.
No, because if I ever in my fucking life saw a quicksand monster, I swear to God.
But then is it just something like, if we're getting into it, if it was on Native American burial ground site, is it just somebody that was once fucking, I don't know, lost at the fucking lake type shit? Like, did they drown? And then were all these rituals and shit, did they just like resurrect?
There is other like monsters that are involved with lakes. I need to look it up what it's called.
Kelpies.
No, the one I'm thinking of specifically.
Like creatures of the Black Lagoon type shit. Like tar monsters almost.
Which would be worse, being like tarred or being like whipped to death by vines?
Tarred. Ooh. Well, no, tarred would be quicker.
Tarred would be quicker. Mm. That's my thing. A lot of my thing is how fast is stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be horrendous all at once because all of it, it's going to be horrible no matter what way you put, but if it's going to be prolonged, no thank you.
I think we have an Irish one.
It's like, horrible if I die quicker.
2 minutes of boiling is like fine in comparison to like 20 minutes being slowly. What's it? Oh.
Flayed?
Not seppuku. Seppuku is when you like kill yourself. But what's the thing when you like death by a thousand cuts?
Oh yeah. No, I don't know what that's called. That's a Chinese thing.
So there's one Savannah. It's a Germanic
that's
one.
That's what I was saying.
A Nyx knocking. That they, if you step foot in their water, that they're a swamp monster.
To be finally.
Yeah.
Hit the fucking home stretch on this bitch.
Home stretch, bitch.
I'm going to do my absolute fucking cross-eyed best to power through. I will be taking us to England for this story. And that is the Pigman of Cannock Chase.
Of where?
Cannock Chase.
Cannock Chase. Mm-hmm. Or Cannock. Would it be Cannock?
I don't know.
I feel like that's a very Irish word. Cannock that's exactly, sounds that's more English.
How do you say it? How do you spell it?
Cannock? C-A-N-N-O-C-K.
Cannock.
Cannock.
Yeah, Cannock Chase.
Was that
yeah.
the Irish and us being like Cannock? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, literally.
It's Cannock.
According to the legend, the Pigman was a... Now, actually, because I had two like different sources on it, so there's like two different source legends of where this cunt came from.
Hmm.
Neither one is believable. But anyways, actually one is more believable than the others, but I'll let you determine which one you think that is.
Ew, love that.
So in the first start of my notes, the legend that I found was that at the end of World War II, British and American scientists buddied up to conduct a heap of fucked up experiments that went too far. Now,
never seen that before.
No.
Never in my life.
They apparently abducted a woman, hypnotized her. So I'm also going to correct that to heavily drugged.
Yeah.
And impregnated her with a human pig hybrid seed for the crack, because they were like, I want to experiment on this shit when it comes out. We're like, we want to see what happens.
Why?
Why don't we put the human pig hybrid into a pig?
Because I feel like they were worried that it would come out more pig than human.
That doesn't matter though. That's not how it works though. I could be a surrogate to a fucking chicken. Well, not a chicken, that's wrong because they have eggs. I could be a surrogate to a fucking platypus, probably. No, they have eggs as well. Fuck. You know what I mean? You know what I fucking mean? My point is that it doesn't matter what you put in, because the point is that what it's made of.
It's already, the DNA is already combined. Yeah, my point is that it's like cooked in.
You could put a fucking, a giraffe into an elephant and it'll still come out a giraffe, because you put a giraffe into an elephant.
Just say, this is the second time we're going to be bringing up Full Metal Alchemist in this episode, because guess what's giving me? Season 1, episode 4.
I haven't watched it.
Please. No, because Kiva,
you don't need to
to see that
it's
episode.
It's genuinely one of the most upsetting things I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'd happily watch Troker ads one after the other for 2 hours as opposed to watching this a singular time.
Irish drinking and driving ads are less upsetting than that episode.
Okay, keep talking. I'm going to pee. I'll be able to hear you, so I'll get the story.
Grant. They're testing her. They've got her knocked up with this pig human hybrid baby. They monitored her for 10 months, and after those 10 months nothing had happened, so they deemed the fucking experiment a failure. And so a year passed after that, and all of a sudden this bitch is pregnant, and she had an extremely delayed pregnancy, but she eventually gave birth to a mostly human baby that had the head of a pig. The locals aren't having it and they're bullying him, and he eventually retreats into the woods. Okay, that's one version of the story.
Pig feet.
The other version is that his mother basically, like, I don't know, fucked the devil or something, because she was involved with witchcraft. Love and that. She got pregnant with this demon spawn pig man, right? Yeah, she ended up getting run out of town, and she gave birth to the pig man boy in the middle of the forest and left him there and abandoned him and was like, fuck you, baby, you're fucking my life up, and went back to the village to like beg for forgiveness. And we don't know what happens to her after that. Witch lady, or let's presume Nazi experiment. Either or. Pig man is born and he lives in the woods, right? And he lives by this particular tower. But me being me, I forgot to get the name of the tower because there was two different sources on what the name of the tower was, and I wasn't sure which one was real. So
don't
I ended
matter.
Up going
Once
with
it's
neither.
It's a tall building, trust me.
It's a tower. Yeah. Just imagine Rapunzel vibes and we'll be fine. It became such a local legend that kids made up a rhyme about it. Okay? And there's a couple of rhymes in this story. But this particular rhyme went, when night falls, enter the woods at your peril. For inside lurks something worse than the devil. Avoid at all costs the gathering place where at midnight the pigman roams on Cannock Chase. Yeah. Ooh. Fun. So that was like, yeah, that was a little kid's, like, I don't know, would you skip to it or what the fuck? Like, you know, like ashes, we all fall down.
You could do a little, fucking, not rotisserie, that's a chicken. What the fuck is it called?
Ring around a rosy.
Yeah, that one.
You definitely could. Yeah, we gotta assume it's that. But anyways, so this chap was cited for, like, actual decades. Like, there was so many recorded moments of him being sighted in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
It was reported that he would lurk on the tree line watching children play, and then over the next couple of, like, so when he first started being seen kind of out and about, like, I presume this is when he like grew up and started getting hungry. I don't know.
And horny.
But
also,
he'd be like,
to be fair.
Exactly. What can you do? Nothing happens to us all. And so he was like stalking children from the tree lines, and then farmers started to notice that they're fucking...
I'm sorry, when I was like horny, you're like, oh yeah, he started stalking children. I was like, fuck me.
But yeah, farmers started to notice that their cattle were fair fucking, and all of their farm animals were just going missing in the middle of the night. And their carcasses would like be found just strewn across the land, eaten and whatnot. Then at one particular harsh winter, they noticed that children finally started disappearing at said tree line. Like, they would go into the forest and never fucking return.
Like,
they were gone.
Fucking pterodactyl thing. eagles come to collect a baby calf. That kind of a situation.
Squaw! So eventually people like abandoned the village, and then the fucking village became like fucking, I'm getting Maleficent vibes now. It eventually became like surrounded by brambles and shit, and
yeah,
it was all overgrown and you couldn't get in there, yeah, and blah blah blah. So that was all around the tower. And then years later, a group of fucking 14 scouts, like Boy Scouts, went to go camping, and they were going camping next to this fucking, you know,
big thing,
Pigman Tower.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You deserve it.
Yeah, if you're going camping in a place where like a notorious fucking fiend of a beast is being spotted.
Honestly, this is the facts of it.
I'm going to go camp this in the swamp that's owned by the swamp man.
Genuine.
Let me just go so and cut down a fairy tree. No, I've actually triggered myself. I've triggered my mom.
Honestly.
So, I'll get an eye because the Americans are all over TikTok lately about fucking cutting down fairy trees and shit like that. I can't be at that. And then there was also this girl now I did take to laughing because it was honestly very funny. Like, usually we don't allow the Americans to embellish when it comes to like their heritage, specifically like those Irish people. But there was this one girl that put up a TikTok basically saying that the British cannibalized and ate her Irish ancestors. And
that's not true. That's not true.
It's a pure lie.
But they wouldn't have eaten us if you paid them €1 million. Sure, we weren't even worth animals.
Genuine. They thought we were less than dogs.
Why would you fucking eat? You wouldn't eat a rat. Would you eat an Irishman?
But no. You know what?
It would be like eating an infected zombie flesh. Like eating someone who was bit.
It's dirty. It's gross.
We'll let her continue.
Okay.
I don't know what my point was with this, but it's on the same caliber. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know what my point was.
I have no idea what we were talking about 10 seconds ago at this point.
I don't know why. Shit.
We will just... Anyway, they went... How has this got to do with Pigman's Tower? I don't know. Anyways, so they go camp in a Pigman's Tower, right? Okay?
And they were surprised a Pigman showed up.
They're sitting around the fucking fire. Well, see, now, it was only the camp leader, like the scout leader, that knew about Pigman because he was a local and the other boys weren't somehow.
No, that makes it so much worse. So what, you've brought me? You've brought me and all of us.
A secluded area.
Notice. And all of us.
Honest to God.
See them. Sorry, I just got...
See our boys standing in the corner there.
I brought all of us up.
Honest to God.
And then you go, oh, FYI, see that tower there? That's Pigman's Tower. Well, sure, Pigman's probably bopping around, isn't he?
Straightening only around.
Because you were fair describing what happened, my friend. Because that is literally it, right? They're sitting around the campfire and the local boy, what was his fucking name? Hang on, I have his cunt name. Where is he?
Frank. Sean.
No, it was actually Ryan. A really weird name. It starts with an A. I cannot find
Alfred.
It. Where...
Alfred. Alonso.
Aquila.
Oh, cool name.
Aquila Tequila.
Aquila Tequila.
Oh, baby, ready to go. You make a woman go mad. To be wise and keep on breathing. Seeing the signs of my body.
Honestly, Nanny Lizzie's favourite song was Hips Don't Lie by Shakira.
Oh, she was onto a vibe, honestly.
Sorry, Nanny Lizzie has good taste.
Right, okay, right. So the Boy Scouts are singing C'est La Vie around the fucking campfire, okay? And they tell the story, fucking Akira tells the story of the Pigman and how he came to be. And so this is where the second rhyme of the fucking story comes in, okay? Because to summon the Pigman, you have to say, Pigman, you've no family. None love you that I can see.
Rude.
Pigman, such a tragedy. Won't you come and play with me?
That's... Why are you asking him to play when you've said he has no mates?
Literally.
Won't you come play with me? It's given Kitty Fiddler.
And that's on what, facts?
So they fucking fair vex this cunt like, oh, no one loves you, ha ha ha. And then it's silence. They hear nothing.
Is this for a minute. Bloody Mary type sitch?
Yeah, literally. It's an American Horror Story. Here, piggy, 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 piggy. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what that's based on. Oh, and there's God, a bunch of pigmen. Like, there's pigmen in America as well, but this particular one is set in the UK. But there's, like, yeah, there's the whole fucking Sasquatch, Yeti fucking interlink thing that there's, like, a species of pigmen. And that they're all over the country. So that's a whole theory. But I didn't bother to get into that because I thought, fuck that.
Yeah, you're better off. I did, and yeah. It did not bode well for the 2 hours I spent talking about it.
Honestly, the ADHD was rampant, so I'm very glad that we didn't continue with that.
I'm telling you now.
All right, relax. Okay, right. Okay, so they say the shitty fucking rhyme.
Right, relax. Okay, right, relax. Okay.
Should
all right, Limerick City.
Here's the fucking thing, right? No, because I'm going to read you a fucking witness account of the pigman. Yeah. And I'm going to read it in my Limerick accent because I think it is the most, like, generic British fucking thing to ever be written ever. Like, if you added a few more Kennys and Danes into it, it would be fucking Scottish. And if you just say it in my accent, my proper accent, it's just any Limerick man could be saying it. But realistically, it was an English chap, right? But
we're reading in the Dacent accent. Like, go ahead.
So they said their rhyme. There's nothing but the fire crackling. They're all listening. They're like, ooh.
And so then no, behind them. Because all I can imagine is the wind changing and some young fella getting the fucking face smoking going. And you know when it burns like fuck when you get that and you're like
and then doing the, when you get the blast of smoke
and then Savannah's like, oh, gonna worse. Say oh your man showed up and he was like
do you know when the priest gives an extra flick of the incense in mass
oh man that shit like, stuff fucking
it just
reeks.
Fucking burn
honestly
oh my god insane shit
like fair enough they are burning the devil out of you because it fucking makes your eyes water.
Did I ever tell you about the time they put holy water on my forehead and it burnt me?
So Piggly Wiggly, he appears, right? Okay. They hear all the crackling of the fire and they're all concentrating. And then all of a sudden there's the squealing of the pigman behind them. Obviously, the boys hear the fucking squealing and they look and they see a tall shape emerge from the forest, sweaty and twitching its snout, salivating over yellowed husks. Now, tusks rather. I actually wrote husks in my fucking notes, but I meant tusks.
Yeah, but you said husks because he had a husky smell, like disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, apparently he did smell as well, so I mean, are we surprised? But yeah, he had tusks, which also bothers me because I'm like, pigs don't have tusks, boars do. So then he's boar man.
Yeah, he's not a pig if he has tusks. Well, no. Wait.
Same color, different font again.
Yeah, like, I mean, boars are like in the pig family, but like.
It's a wild pig, like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, my family, hot. Which is really upsetting, it's my family album. Album?
Okay. Savannah, we're wrong.
Ooh.
All pigs have tusks.
Shocked.
Though, the tusks on domestic hogs are sometimes docked. So, like, you know how they dock horns on goats and stuff?
Stop it.
And, yeah. Like, docking ears and shit.
Now, this is fully going off Google. If I'm wrong, people correct me, but...
Shooketh. I'm actually shook. All right, maybe he is pigman then.
Okay, all pigs grow tusks. Male, females, even spayed-neutered pigs. An intact boar is going to have the fastest... Yeah, so a male boar, so that's what they call, you know, the male pigs.
Yeah.
An intact male is going to have the fastest tusk growth, because obviously. Whereas
Wait, so he's boar
an
man.
Intact female and a neutered male are going to have, like, similar growth. And then a spayed female will have the lowest growth.
That's wild. Interesting.
Because I suppose, testosterone levels, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does actually. That's really... I honestly would never have known that.
No.
Yeah, same.
It was like a
but I know with pigs, you can breed them so that they don't have horns. Same with sheep. Mm. So I wonder, is it possible to breed them so that they're less likely to have them?
That's very true.
But that in general, that they do have them.
Yeah, so the pigman appeared all sweaty and beady-eyed and what have you. And he flipped over an overturned tree stump into the air. The Boy Scouts were like, fucking scatter, boys. And one of them stayed frozen in place because, you know, flight, fright, freeze, whatever. So he was like frozen in place and the pigman ignored him because he was staying still. He focused on the moving prey instead. And a boy fell next to the creature. So the pigman smashed his head with the swoop of his giant fist and popped it like a grape. This then caused the frozen boy to pass the fuck out, and therefore we no longer know.
I can't do it like that.
What happened to the rest of the boys?
I can only do it like a. Right, I can't even do it like that way.
Yeah, I can't do it at all.
I did it the first time. It worked the first time.
because he passed out, he was the only boy of 14 boys to survive the pigman encounter. The end of the fucking article that I read on it, which I should have saved the name, but I can't remember. It's like a supernatural 14 boys enter the woods and only one comes back, something like that. Close enough. If you Google it, you'll find it. To do with the pigman of fucking Connacht Chase. But yeah, so the last line was, tremble, cry, even close your eyes, but do not run. For those that do, seldom survive. So the pigman will only fucking murder you if you try to run. Like, if you just stay still, it's fine.
Well, that's fair, because it's like, don't aggravate the thing, because he's letting you on.
But I feel like that's the same with any wild animal. Live and let live. Don't ever run.
Yeah, agreed.
You don't run because you've made yourself into prey when you run. You back away slowly.
I agree. I wouldn't even back away slowly. It's just like play dead. I'm playing possum.
Depending on the animal.
You already killed me. Don't even pay attention.
Depending on the animal.
Yeah, depending. Yeah, so I'm going to very quickly run through reading the most quintessential fucking British encounter with the pigman that you'll probably ever hear. So here we go, quick as we can. We camped there one Friday night, rough around 2006, just a sheet in the trees, prob about five of us. I had a lift there by one of my mates. They all had work Saturday, so planned to go back early. Friday night, we were quite close to the road. We had a fire burning for warmth and light. The police pulled up and told us to put it out. Me being me, I told them no.
He's definitely a northern lad. Even the way this is worded, it's definitely a northern lad. 100%.
Which I thought was strange. That's never happened to me before. So next day the lads went to work. They were planning to come back to camp there the night again after work. I decided to stay on my own, move all the stuff deeper into the forest as to not to attract the police again. I was there 5 hours on my own. I set up 3 tents, put sheets in the trees, built a surround to stop the wind, got all the firewood ready. It was a masterpiece. Two of my friends came up for me and said no one was up for stopping the night anymore. I was pissed off. All that stuff was mine, around £600 worth. And I was just to leave it there in the forest unattended? I wasn't happy. I'm not easily frightened. I spent 5 hours in that forest that day with no fear. I had an 18-inch razor-sharp machete. I know that sounds a bit sinister, but we were all responsible adults that were there. And you never know when you might need one. So that night, I rang everyone I knew to come back and get my stuff with me so that it wasn't left. No one wanted to. So I decided, I'm doing it. I'm going to camp there on my own. I got a book I was reading and off I went. I pulled up in my car where we had originally seen the UFO. Now, I don't have the UFO story, but this cunt also has a story about him seeing a UFO in the same camping grounds.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Suffering,
do with that what you will. I walked casually across the road. There was a tall bush you had to walk through to get to the path. I suddenly clicked and said to myself, you're on your own now. Be a bit more wise and cautious. So I stopped in the centre of this large bush and lit a fag. I listened and heard movements. I was slowly and quietly moved out of the bush and round, expecting to see a big deer. Instead, about 200 yards away from me, I was looking down a hill, I saw a white figure on all fours, looking like it was sniffing the ground, as a dog would if you were walking down a street covered in lampposts.
What the fuck does that mean? As if he's sniffing the piss on each lamppost that a dog is
sniffing. Literally, yeah, exactly that. First I thought it's the warden. He's found the stuff and is looking for us with his dog. But the sound that it was making sounded more like a pig sniffing. So I thought it was a large boar. Was the right colour to be a pig. I watched it for about 30 seconds trying to determine it. Then it stopped, dead, didn't move. I knew it was now or never. I knew it was there. I froze, took hold of my machete and waited. Then this thing stood up on its back legs. It was massive. I'm 6'3" and this thing was at least 7 foot tall. And it ran at me at speed up the hill, like a person would run. Squealing like a banshee you would hear on a horror film crossed with a pig. I ran like a bitch and got to my car and drove off without looking back. I've never been so scared in my life. I have been back since, but never on my own. The funny thing is, I've never heard of anyone known or any other proof until last year. Can't believe I'm not the only one to see this. Typical that I see something after 2 years of trying when I was on my own. I have proof of the lights of the trees. I have two other eyewitnesses for that. I have no proof of the pigmen other than believe me or not. And that's the pigmen! Now, there is plenty of other, like, fucking encounters of that, but I feel like this episode has been croning on for long enough that we don't need them. But apparently, the pigman is just roaming out there for all to see. So what's your money on? Witchcraft or Nazi experiments?
Witchcraft.
I thought witchcraft sounded the best for it as well.
I'll always be witchcraft over the Nazis anyways. Fuck the Nazis.
I left for a second.
That was the pigman of Cannock Chase. And yeah, like I said, there's plenty of pigmen.
What are we putting him on our probability scale?
I'm going to put him quite low, to be honest.
Yeah.
I feel like as close and all as humans and pigs are in DNA and all of that.
I'm putting him like 2.
Yeah.
If not even lower, to be honest.
I feel like of all the three of us, I have the least likely story.
Yeah, I think Kiva's is the highest. I'm probably middle ground.
Yeah, like yours could be true or could be mass hysteria.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Cuevas is like, scientifically has the most bases.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Shocker, Kiva fucking hyperfixated and was like, let's figure this shit out.
I was wondering why you were so on the fucking Bigfoot thing.
Fucking gas, like, man. I love that you've fallen down the rabbit hole of Bigfoot.
Oh, man. Okay, we let you go cook dinner, so.
Yes. Also, like, there's just one small side note that I want to throw in with my story, and that is that there... You know the way there's like all of these AI art generators things going around?
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's one that's after happening. They're saying it's like the first cryptid of latent space in AI art generators. And her name is Loeb. And it's L-O-A-B. It's genuinely terrifying. Like, she's actually so fucking eerie to look at.
Loeb.
And I was very tempted to go and cover her as my cryptid story. But I was like... Because
ew,
she's so
I
new,
hate
like,
her.
Yeah. And she... So basically the story with Loeb is that she was generated by accident. Like, they were putting in negative prompts and they were trying to get the opposite of Marlon Brando. And the opposite of Marlon Brando, according to this AI generator, was a city skyline that, like, it was basically like a little logo situation. It was just a black city skyline with some gibberish words in it. Like, it wasn't really language. It was just... Simlish.
Okay.
So they were like, okay, well, the opposite of this image should realistically, like logically, be Marlon Brando himself. So they put in like city skyline logo -1, like whatever, you know? So they were doing it all through negative word association. So it was like as far away as possible from this as possible.
Yeah.
So they did that and they were expecting Marlon Brando to be the outcome, but Loeb appeared. And it generated two images, which is the original Loeb image, which you can find on a Twitter thread by... Oh, I cannot remember the name, but if you just look up Loeb, you'll find the original Twitter thread of who created her or who found her in the latent space of AI. Yeah, so it generated that, and then it generated sort of an album cover style thing. And again, it had the nonsensical English in it, but the first letters, the first words were Loeb, L-O-A-B. And so the founder of all of this kind of took to calling the figure Loeb. And they started just reverse engineering the pictures of Loeb. And they found that even though AI can't regenerate like celebrities all that well, if you feed a picture of a celebrity into it, it can't replicate it 100%. They could
like
always replicate.
The hands will be funny.
Exactly. Yeah. Or the eyes will be off or when something will be off with it.
Hmm.
But if it. Put in Loeb, if they put, like, just put in with no word prompts the picture of Loeb, it would recreate Loeb almost perfectly every time. Like, it was always a recognizable image of her. And when they tried to get it away from it, it would get away from it for a while and then suddenly Loeb would reappear.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Man, this AI shit is so freaky. Like, even with just, like, on TikTok, it's going right now of, like, certain artists covering certain songs. So, like, you'd have a few of the K-pop boys covering English songs, which you never would have fucking obviously touched because they can't fucking speak the language, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it sounds, like, even pitch perfect the same. So, it's, like, it's terrifying. Like, that could be used in an aspect of, like, I don't know, you could have, like, a world leader saying something, like, declaring war on somebody. And it's sounding exactly like how they are.
Yeah.
Like, AI has made it that it looks like this person is saying something, but they're actually, like, they haven't.
That's it. And it, like,
enough is alone. Like,
it gives you the uncanny valley vibe at the same time,
it's
still.
It's terrifying. It's really fucking scary.
Yeah, 100%.
It's really fucking scary.
And it, like, it gets really dark out of nowhere. Like, there's no reason for it to have gotten as macabre as it is. But, like, it just, it's, like, decapitated children and stuff. Like, they said it's, like, borderline snuff images that eventually started being generated that they're not even comfortable sharing them on Twitter. And already there's, like, an age-appropriate fucking rating on them. It's, like, you have to be 18 or over to be able to view the images right. that some of it generated. Because it's, like, had children's heads being held up by claw-like hands and this disfigured face and the watery eyes. And it's just, it is fucking bizarre. Honestly. I recommend looking it up because it's one of those things. It's the, like, it's the Dear David thing where it's like, you know, it's not really anything, but at the same time, it gives the feeling of like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ick. So yeah. So that's just the last, fucking like, the bizarre. Newfound cryptid of AI latent space that has been found that I thought I'd want to throw out before we end this episode.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah. I recommend doing a little bit of research into her because it's honestly fascinating from like a technological point of view, but like it is creepy. It is. But yeah, so I barely have function of my arms anymore.
I want to say this was quite civilized.
This is definitely like, yeah, with it's nowhere near as loud as the last.
You're welcome, Savannah. Really and truly.
Couple of fucking
psychotic on this.
The storm is kicking up here. My internet is only going to hold on for so long. So we're going to wrap this up before things get catastrophic. We will presumably be returning after this with a heavy hitter.
Yeah.
One would assume.
The point is, we're going to be back.
Gluck and thanks.
Wait. Is this our season finale, our 100th episode? Are we on season 3 now?
Because we fair missed the start of season 3 anyway, because I was thinking this. So I feel like, yeah, we're going to return with season 3 after my holiday.
Gluck and thanks.
After your birthday.
Never liked you anyways. Yeah,
we're going to be back with season 3. And it's probably going to be darker than the two previous seasons because that seems to be the trend.
Honestly,
let's look forward to that. So we're going to leave you with this episode. It's going to be a whole, well, these two episodes now because it's gone on for 4 fucking hours. It is a drunk extravaganza. I was forced into this. I make no apologies because it wasn't my fault. We're going to leave it here. We are going to wrap it up. We're going to say see you guys next week. And thank you for joining us for this fucking ADHD fueled nightmare.
Sayonara, see you later.
As is the way of the fucking world, we're going to leave you with a Scooter quote, which is, like a blitz, we're cutting the hits. Yeah, which light switches which? And always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult, or don't, because honestly, if you have to join this insufferable fucking group, or whatever the fuck it's called, it's not worth it. I'm just going to say it now.
It's worth it.
It's not. It really and truly.
Okay. Toodles.
I can hear her pissing.